God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Jesus, that God has laid on my heart a couple of weeks ago while I was sitting in a driving parking lot, and I had my flip file, and God just started to speak to me just about something personal, really. And then God said, I must preach about it. And I was like, this is a bit for me, God. You know, this is stuff you've done in my life. I'm not sure whether it's really going to bless someone else. And God won the argument. So I'm here just to convey what He laid in my heart. Before we go on, let's just pray. Father, I just thank You for this evening. I thank You, Lord God, that You are in control. We thank You, Jesus, that You are here, because Your word says, with two or more gather in Your name, there You are. So we welcome You in our midst, Lord Jesus. We thank You that You grace us with Your presence. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, that You will lead this evening. Just declare, Lord God, my dependence upon You. I pray for every heart to be opened up, Lord God, to receive what You want to instill. And we give You all glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, what I'm going to share with you tonight is not really something topical, really. It's not a topical sermon. It's more just in a few life basics that God has spoken to me and Lorraine about, things that we apply in our life, on just normal practical wisdom. I think, you know, sometimes we tend to endeavor or to move into a way that's theoretical, philosophical, and sometimes it's hard to apply principles of the Word. We don't know how to. And something that was just laid on my heart, God said, listen, there's three things I want you to come and tell my people through what happened in your life. And that's what I'm going to do tonight. Tonight is just a practical application of the Word of God. It's nothing fancy. Maybe not be deep for you at all. Maybe you're going to find it very boring. You're more than welcome to take a nap if you want to. But I'm going to preach it anyway. And what I found about this manual is, obviously, this is a spiritual book and it leads us into spiritual truths. What I also found, this is a practical book and it leads us into practical truths. We can apply this book practically in our lives. That's what I love about God. God is He understands life. God understands life. Wants to put you at ease. Yeah? He isn't the far God up there. He doesn't understand what I'm doing. He understands exactly where I'm at. Understands exactly where you are at. He understands life. Jesus was tempted just like us, says the Word. He understands that. Jesus knows what a piece of bread tastes like. Jesus knows what, well, not cream soda tastes like, but you know, nice cup of water. They had some nice drinks those days as well. Mint flavored tea or whatever. You know? Jesus understands these things, man. And the Word says that this is the bread of life. This book is the light to my path. It directs me, shows me. If something's a light to my path, it shows me where I should go. To me, that's very practical. And tonight I'm just going to share a few practical things with you guys. Let's just start off with Psalm 111 verse 10. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. He's got the power to wipe out us as a human race like that if He wants to. And it's only when we understand the terror, the fear of God, then we can relate to God in the right way. And what is the right way to relate to God? Love. Love. So how do I put these two together? How do I put the fear of God, the terror of God, and the love of God? Because the Word says that God is love. How do I bring it together? You see, if I've got a fear for God, if I understand His holiness, if I understand that He is able to destroy me completely, and I look at Jesus and what He has done on my behalf, then my heart cannot but love this Jesus, who has taken this wrath of God that will come down on ungodliness and unholiness, who has taken that wrath, He has redirected that wrath upon Himself so that I can go free.
That's why it's important to fear God. Because only when you fear God can you love God. Only when you fear God can you love God in the way that He should be loved and that He deserves to be loved. When I think, when I meditate a lot on the fear of God, I meditate a lot on the holiness of God and what that represents and what that means to mankind. But you know what? Every single time that I do it, I'm being drawn closer to Jesus. It doesn't push me away from God. It draws me into His bosom. Because of what He has done on my behalf. The fear of God is an amazing thing. The fear of God is what sets us free. The fear of God is liberating. Why? Because every time it points to Jesus. If it does not point to Jesus, then you don't have the right fear. The fear of God, whenever I see God, the Father, I look at Jesus, I say, Jesus, I thank You that You have taken all this terror that I should have to this God that's also known as the Father, that You've taken that terror, placed it upon Yourself, so that I can go liberally into the presence of my Father who loves me eternally. I do not have to fear Him and His wrath upon my life any longer because You've dealt with it. But if I dare to look at the Father outside of the context of Jesus, it's a lot of trouble. Because His wrath will be directed at me if I have no covering. And the only acceptable covering for God the Father is Jesus. It's what Jesus has come and done for us on the cross. And more than that, He has said, now you are my son. And every promise that I give to you in this book, every promise is yours. Every benefit of my kingdom is yours. It's yours for the taking. Take it. Why? Because you're family now. That means you can come and sit around the table. You can come and walk into my kitchen. Open up the fridge and take whatever you want. You know why? Because you're embracing my son. You're embracing the gift that I've given you. And because you fear me, because you have this awe of me, you stand, you understand what kind of God I am, I'm going to reveal to you things you've never known. I will impart wisdom and understanding into your life that others will never see. And the reason we've got, and I'm sorry for this word, this is a big, ugly word, but the reason for stupidity in Christianity is because of a lack of the fear of God. There are many stupid Christians that do stupid things because they do not fear God. They walk around like idiots. Like fools. That's what the word calls them, fools. Modern day version, idiots. That's just the truth. You know why? Because they don't fear God. They don't fear the Father. The Word promises me that if I fear God, I will receive understanding. I will receive wisdom. Proverbs 9 verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Knowledge of the Holy One is insight. See, knowledge comes by, again, fearing Him. You get this throughout the Word. I'm just referring to a few scriptures here. God wants us to have insight, my friends. God wants us to have wisdom. God wants us to move in understanding. God wants us to move from glory to glory, from victory to victory. He wants us to move in the path of least resistance. God wants us to move in a straight line. He doesn't want us to circle a desert for 40 years. And unfortunately, many Christians, in their life, they move from point A to point B to point C to point D, back to point A, and do the whole circle thing for 40 and 50 years. They don't get it right. You know why? Because they don't have wisdom. They don't have understanding. And that is not the desire of God. God's desire for His people, talk about the Israelites now, from the beginning was to move from Egypt to the Holy Land, 12 days, took them 40 years. God, that is not God's desire for us. Who wants to take the long road? Who wants to take the short road? Okay. So let's go. Proverbs 25 verse 2 says, "It is the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings to search things out." I believe that if we want to understand Proverbs 25 verse 2, we need to understand the fear of God. We need to understand the fear of God. You see, if we don't fear God, God says matters will be concealed. Glory of kings, right, I believe, also is referring to people who are fearing God. The glory of kings is to search things out. God will allow us to search certain things out if we fear Him and seek His face. In other words, we will be able to understand things. Things that pertain to life. Things that pertain to godliness. I'm talking about practical things. How to work with finances. How to make wise decisions. Yeah? Everything that pertains to life. God wants us to know that it is possible to move inside His will on a constant basis. I think many times for us, you know, moving inside the will of God is like, yeah, you know what? In March 2008, I made a decision that was actually inside of God's will. Yeah, that was quite cool. But since then, been 4 years now, I can't think of another scenario where I know I was inside the will of God. And that is not God's will. God's will for us is to know, to walk in faith, that we are constantly inside of His will. Who believe it's possible to be constantly inside the will of God? Yeah? It is. It's possible to be constantly inside of the will of God. So what I'm going to share with you tonight, my friends, and I just had to give that intro, because we're not talking about the fear of God tonight. I just had to give that intro so that we can just understand what is the foundation, where we start off with. We need to understand that it's only through the fear of God that we will ever receive wisdom. That, like I said, there's too many Christians walking around, they don't have wisdom, and the reason for that is because they don't understand or do not intend to understand the fear of God. It's a word that they're familiar with, but it's not a word that has penetrated their heart yet. So we needed to start there. And what I'm going to share with you tonight is just a few practical nuggets of wisdom that has blessed Lorraine and I in our marriage and in our life. Maybe it will bless you, maybe not, but I'm going to share it with you. And we definitely do not have all the answers. We are on a journey ourselves. But these couple of things I'm going to share with you tonight is something that God has revealed to our hearts and has given us a great peace and a great joy while following God. Tonight is a message of hope and encouragement. It may not have felt that we started off that way, but it is. And I pray that God will reveal these things to your heart as well. Now, the first thing that I always want to bounce off with you guys is decision making. How do you make decisions in life? Many Christians have come across the following scenario. I've got an option A, option B, and an option C. And I don't know which option to take. God, help me to make the right decision. And then we make a decision and we're still not sure whether that was the will of God. Anyone here who's had that? Okay? So we make decisions and we're not sure whether that's the will of God. It's this continuous doubt that follows us in this decision. And it actually robs us of our faith. Would you agree, those who put up their hands? Actually robs you of your faith. I can say it because I've been there. I know the feeling. And the ironic part is that as we seeking God's ways, as we seeking God's will in this decision, and we're not quite sure whether, you know, A, B, and C, whether it's the right one, we bounce it off accountability partners, we bounce it maybe off small group members or whatever, and then our very well-meaning friends who are really loved by Jesus comes to us and then say, "But what does God say you should do?" And you're like, "But that's exactly the point. I don't know what God says I must do. But, okay, but just go back and pray about it. So what does God say you should do?" Whatever, man. We're just going to go in another 40 years of circles, you know. So I just want to help you In that scenario, what do you do?
Just before we go on with that, I just want to make a statement that I've, something I believe God has shown me, is that, you know what, God gives us a lot more freedom of choice, and God gives us a lot more options than what we feel comfortable with. Can I say it again? God gives us a lot more freedom of choice, and God gives us a lot more options than what we feel comfortable with. God is a king. Jesus is a king. And He instructs and He commands. Jesus also allows us to live our lives in His parameters, inside the Word of God. Okay? I think a lot of Christians believe they're not allowed to do anything. That's a lie. God allows us to live. I heard a sermon. I'm actually sidetracking myself now. Just stay with me. But I heard a sermon about 8 years ago. And I still can remember like yesterday just how significant it was to me. This guy, maybe you know him, Alan Bagg. He's got a massive, big ministry in Somerset West. And he was talking on wisdom. And one of the things that he shared was quite significant. He said, God just showed him life being represented as a rugby game. Now, immediately he was more holy in my books. So, you know, it's like a rugby game, and you can play rugby as long as you stay within the rules, right? You're not allowed to step out of the lines, and you must obey the rules of the game. And in this game of rugby, we've got a referee as well. Whenever you trespass, whenever you make a mistake, whenever you do not play according to the rules, what does the referee do? Blows the whistle. What happens then? The game stops, right? And he says life is very much like a game of rugby. The Word of God is the boundaries. But inside these boundaries, you allow to play the game. The Holy Spirit is the referee. As soon as you step over the line or you do something that you're not supposed to do, the Holy Spirit stops you. In your spirit, you know it. He warns you. Whoa, 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 don't go there. That's not allowed. Unlike rugby where the ball is given to the opponents, the ball is given back to you. How cool is that? I love that analogy. And I felt that life very much works like that. I'm allowed to play the game. I'm allowed to make decisions. Whether I want to give a chip, a grubber, when I want to hand off someone, or whether I want to throw the ball away, it's my choice. God allows me, and God allows you, to live life. To make decisions. And as soon as you step over the line, He will blow the whistle. He will warn you. God gives us a lot more freedom of choice, and a lot more options than what we feel comfortable with. So, what Lorraine and I have learned through the Word of God is the following. Proverbs 16:9. Always, always, always go back to the Word of God. Whenever you doubt anything, you go back to the Word of God. What does the Word say regarding this topic? 16:9. The heart of man plans his way. Who establishes our steps? Who? The Lord establishes our steps. Psalm 37:23. Steps of a man are established by who? When he delights in his way. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. My anchor text. One of my anchor texts. I form my whole life around this text. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. He will make straight your paths. Do you believe that? No? Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Thank you. You see, whether you choose option A, B, or C is irrelevant. It doesn't matter what decision you're making. The ability to make the right decision is not in your hands. The ability to make the right decision is in the hands of God. What God requires of us is to submit our ways to Him. That is His requirement. What God requires of us is to take this decision, submit it to Him, so that He can fulfill His word that says He will direct our steps.
It's a promise that He gives us. Some might think, yeah, but He does not delight in my way. Proverbs 37:23.
You know, God doesn't really delight in my way, so I'm not sure whether this applies to me. My friend, if you're a reborn believer, you're under the blood of Jesus. If you're under the blood of Jesus, you've been filtered through the blood of Jesus. You know what that means? You know how a filter works? All these layers. I'm not talking about these cheapies in ShopRite. So a proper filter. You've got all these layers. You throw in mud water at the top, what comes out at the bottom? Pure, sparkling, lekker water. Man, nice water. That is what the blood of Jesus does. Jesus is like a filter, and our lives are poured into this filter. You know what comes out at the bottom? A pure life. Hebrews 10 goes so far as to say that our lives, we are perfect. Do you believe that? That Jesus says, because of my blood, you are perfect. I need to take that one by faith. Don't know about you. Yeah? Because I know myself. But through the eyes of our Father, the filtering of Jesus' blood has made us perfect. So, you know what? God does delight in you. So it does apply to you. So if I want to make a decision, I acknowledge Him in any matter, I pray about it, and I keep it in front of God in prayer, then God's promise to me is that He will direct my steps. Not I will direct my steps. The ability to make the right decision doesn't rest with me. It rests with the Father. As long as I submit it to Him. Now, if God speaks to you about a specific scenario, let's say you've got the three options and God says, go for option C. Do you then go for option A or B? No. God has spoken, right? God's voice is always superior. That's always the primary thing that we will follow, is His voice. Whether it makes sense or not, is irrelevant. We follow His voice. So if God speaks, that's what we do. But if God does not speak, my friends, I want to give you the assurance that as you submit your ways to God, that He will direct your steps and you will be inside of His will. Very quiet. Seems like you don't believe that. Does that make sense? As you submit your way to God, the Word of God says, God establishes my steps. So, let me give you a practical scenario. Lorraine and I, we had a couple of months ago, we had a major life decision that we needed to make. Big one. So we took this life decision, we took it to God, and we prayed about it. We said, God, these are the options. We need your wisdom. And we pray for the James 1:5 wisdom to manifest in our lives. And we keep it before God for days, sometimes weeks, depending on the situation. And we trust God to lead us. And we're asking God to confirm to us what is the right decision to make. And sometimes God do speak to us directly in our spirit regarding a certain situation. But there are also times when God does not speak. Like in this scenario, God did not speak to us directly. Not to her, not to me. You know what we do then? Something very spiritual. We follow common sense and logic. We follow common sense and logic. The path of least resistance. We say, okay, God, these are the scenarios that were laid down before us. We don't feel a certain moving in a certain direction. So I believe you're allowing us to play the game of rugby. The game of life. You're allowing us to play this game and you're not blowing the whistle yet. So we're moving with this option. And then we ask God, if this is the wrong decision, please confirm it to us. And every single time that we've done this, and we've made the wrong decision, God stops us. And He says, do not go that way. This is the path that you can follow. Every single time. Why? Because He's committed to His word that says He will direct our steps. That's why. My friends, I think the reason why we struggle to take this for ourselves and believe that it is truth. Two reasons. First of all, we don't know the word. If there's any one of you that didn't know this, you've got no excuse after tonight because it's just been revealed to you. But it's important for us to know the word on all matters. We need to study this manual. This is the eternal manual that sets us up for victory upon victory upon victory day after day. If we don't know what the promise is, how can we claim the promise in our life? If we don't know what the promise is, then I cannot move in faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's what the word says. I need to know the manual. And like I shared with the previous group as well, there are so many people who claim promises that you don't find in the word of God. I'm like, where did you find that? Moses 17 verse 12. Book of Moses, eh? Okay. Who's your small group leader? You see, the book of Moses doesn't help. The books of Genesis to Revelation that helps. We need to know the word of God. And they start to claim these promises that doesn't exist. It's not in here. I'm like, you're wasting your breath, buddy. Why are you claiming something that doesn't exist? Don't waste your breath. Don't waste your time. Get to know the manual and claim the promises in accordance to the word of God. This is the first thing. Second reason I believe that we struggle to embrace something like this is we may know the word of God, but we do not trust the word of God. We do not trust that God will fulfill His promise. That if I've submitted my ways to God, so by the way, guys, I mean, if you're submitting your ways to God and you are in deliberate sin, don't expect God to move on your behalf. All right? I'm not going to go in. That's not the topic for tonight. That's not something I'm going to focus on. You should know that. All right? I mean, if you are in a deliberate, adulterous relationship and you're submitting your ways to God, oh, God, why did you direct my steps? And I've got no sympathy. I'm talking to people who are seeking the heart of God. Where am I? Trusting the word of God. If God says that if we submit our ways to Him and He will direct our steps, then we can believe Him. So, if you make a decision, because you've not directly heard from God, you're not exactly sure, but you've got these options, and you make a decision, my friends, you don't feel any check in your spirit, you can be assured that God has directed your steps and that you are inside the will of God. You can live with confidence in that decision. That you've not missed God and that you are fulfilling His perfect will. Because the Word says, He directs my steps. The Word says, He makes straight my path. Is that okay? Does that make sense? Does that give you a little bit of peace over the next big life decision that you need to make? God directs your steps. Second point I want to touch on is common sense. Now, I touched on common sense and logic while we were talking about decision making. And I just want to encourage you guys, logic and common sense is biblical. It is biblical. I feel sometimes there are Christians that, you know, when they ask you, so how did you come to the conclusion? How did you make this decision that you made? And you said, well, it was just an obvious thing to do. And they're like, whew. Just feel this aura of unholiness around you, you know?
nothing wrong with common sense. There's nothing wrong with logic, and I will prove it to you according to the Word of God.
If you do make a decision that is logical, if you do make a decision that is obvious, and it's not the will of God, what's God going to do? What's God going to do? What? Come on, yeah, sorry. Stop you. Okay? He will stop you. He will make sure that you understand this is not His way. This is not His will for you. And He can do it in various ways. Because you are reborn, because you've got the Spirit of God in you, you will register an uneasiness. One of the first things you will register. An anxiousness. Whoa, man. Where did all these feelings come from? I don't feel confident in this decision. It seems like the right one. It's an obvious one, but it doesn't feel right. Obviously, when that happens, you check. God, what's going on here? Yeah? But if you do not register something like that, then it's okay to follow the path of logic and common sense. God is the author of logic and common sense. Like I said to the previous group, just look at math. And how math confirmed God. It's crazy. And unfortunately, in today's day and age, society misses common sense Christians. I wish we could just become a little bit more practical at work. I wish we can just move in a little bit more common sense at work. God's going to be okay with it. God doesn't have issues with it. God will impart divine knowledge on His people at their workplaces. They're just willing to move without having to have an answer for every question that they have at work. Sometimes I think we become paralyzed in prayer. We pray so much, there's nothing we should pray constantly, but we pray so much expecting our 17 fleeces to have the dew on. And there must be at least 7 angels confirming this prayer before I'm willing to move forward. And God's like, that is not the way that I operate. I've given you the ability to move in my power, to move in my wisdom, to move under my anointing wherever you go, because of what my Son has done for you. My Son has come, He's taken everything upon Himself. Every spiritual blessing that is available in the kingdom of God is available to us. And He wants us to use it. But so many Christians need to have direct confirmation upon confirmation upon confirmation. And while I was driving here, I was thinking about it. I thought, yes, God, should I say this or should I not? Now I feel I should. Previous group, I didn't. Well, let's go. Where God says, people who want confirmation upon confirmation upon confirmation is not committed to my will. They're committed to their own desires. They are trying to push the will of God away, 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 until I feel comfortable. Or until I feel, okay, God, you've said it, now I'm going to do it. If I have to. You've given me now 1,000 confirmations. I can't deny it from you. But that's not the way that God operates. That is not the desire of God for His people. The Word is full of instruction. It says, go. Go make the difference on campus. Go make the difference at your work. Be the difference in your household. Don't wait for confirmation upon confirmation. Yes, there are times, there are seasons that when we do that. There are times when we are seasons that we bounce things off our accountability partners, off our leaders, without a doubt. But that should not paralyze us to sit in apathy. If we sit in apathy, then I can guarantee you, we're not inside the will of God. Because God moves forward. God's desire is that His kingdom will always advance against the kingdom of darkness. And that we take the gates of Hades by force if we need to. God does not want us to sit back and wait for things to happen. He says, move, because I'm with you, my people. And like with the Israelites, there was a pillar of fire at night, and that
cloud by day. God says, I move in front of you. Just move. I'm with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. Move. And know that I'm with you. Why? Because I direct your steps. I move you. You are not the one making the decision. Don't be so arrogant as to think that you can make the right decision. It's impossible for us to make the right decision. Because we don't know what's happening in the future. But God does. God knows what's happening in the future. And that's why He gives us a promise in His Word. And says, I direct your steps. I direct your steps. Why does God say that? I'm just... Things just come to me now. I'm preaching to myself. Is so that we can have confidence. So that we can have the faith that is necessary to move forward in faith. To move forward in God's ability. And to know that He is with us. He had to put it in the Word. So that we can know it's the truth. He directs our steps. He directs our steps. He directs our steps. Submit your ways to Him. He directs our steps. It's not you who's directing your own steps. He directs our steps. Talking also about common sense. And yes, it can be proven. Proverbs 13 verse 15. Good sense can also be translated as common sense. Wins favor. What does good sense do? Wins favor. I like that. But the way of the treacherous is their ruin. Proverbs 16:22. Good sense or common sense is a fountain of life to him who has it. Proverbs 19 verse 8. Whoever gets sense, also common sense, loves his own soul. And he who keeps understanding will discover good. Proverbs 21:16. One who wanders from the way of good sense, or common sense, will rest in the assembly of the dead. That's a bit of a scary one. I don't know about you. You know, that the one who wanders away from common sense will rest in the assembly of the dead. I'll leave it there. I'm not going to preach on that. Now, you know, for some here, common sense is common sense. You're like, what are you on about? I understand this. Cool, man. Enjoy a cup of tea with us afterwards. But there are people who don't understand this. And I meet them often. They're trying to complicate life for I don't know what reason. And God, I just feel He wants to take that burden off your shoulders and say, you know what? If you don't get the confirmations, it's because you're supposed to follow the path of least resistance. A.K.A. common sense. That's what I want you to do. Follow the path of least resistance. Some people may say, hang on. But Jesus said that we will experience persecution and resistance in this life. Yes, He did say that. But that's got nothing to do with common sense. Jesus was talking there about persecution that's coming our way and that we will experience on a regular basis. We must be very careful not to take the Word of God and try to interpret it outside of its context. Right? And sometimes we do that, guys. We interpret the Word of God outside of its context. In this context, common sense has got nothing to do with the persecution and the resistance that Jesus was talking about. And one thing that I also think that we as Christians do is actually we're making the job of the devil very easy. Because the devil is sitting there in the corner, not really, but let's say he's sitting there in the corner and he's looking at JP and he's like, yes, man. He is so good putting spiritual burdens upon himself. I don't need to weigh him down. He's doing it himself. Go, JP. I'm off to someone else. You're taken care of. And I think that's what we do. We put these burdens upon ourselves. God, why didn't the 20th fleece have dew on it? And God's like, because I don't do the fleece thing any longer. That's an old covenant thing. You've got my spirit inside of you, and I'm with you all of the way. So you start to move, and I will show you how I back you. Because my word cannot fail, and my word will not return void to me. And my word says, I will direct your steps. Believe it. Believe it, or carry the burden. That is the two options. Good sense, my friends, common sense is biblical and it's spiritual. Do not negate it as anything less. Now I'm going to say again, if God speaks, we move in His voice. Right? And if God's voice does not confirm the obvious, if God's voice does not confirm the common sense path, then we follow the voice of God. Yeah? Common sense is not a replacement for the voice of God. Okay? But if you do not discern a clear direction from God, it's okay to follow the path of least resistance. Last point I just want to touch on is expectation. Now, I don't know about you, but when I speak to Christians, it saddens me to listen to many Christians. Because what I hear, the words that they use, are words of defeat. I can hear in the words that they use that they expect to lose at this thing called life. They do not expect to win, they expect to lose. It just comes out by default. The word says, what by the heart can fall is open one from what? What's that in English? What the heart is full of, the mouth falls open. Anyway, but you know what your heart is full of, it comes out. And I find that many Christians, they almost expect that somewhere in their life they're going to terribly miss God. And they're going to stay, the consequences of that's going to stay with them forever. And they live in this continuous fear of missing God. I just want to know, in context of what we've just said, how would that be possible? If God directs our steps, how are we going to miss it so badly in life? Can God fail? No. God can't fail. God can't fail. You know what, my friends? As a Christian who's been washed by the blood of the Lamb, my expectation shouldn't be that I will fail in life. My expectation should be that I will make it in life. And I will make it abundantly. Why? Because the Creator of the universe is backing me. You and I, we are His boykies and girlkies. Yeah? We are those that sit around His table. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for evil. To give you a future and a hope." Do you believe the Word of God? Do you believe that Jeremiah 29:11 applies to you? Do you? You know what? If God says it, I believe it. Not only for the life to come, but for this life as well. My expectation is not to fail. My expectation is to succeed. And I say that humbly, but I say it confidently. Because I believe the Word. My expectation is not to be wrong. My expectation is to be right. Again, I say that humbly. And I will always evaluate my decisions and the way that I feel about something to the Word. And in prayer. And towards my leaders. And towards those that I'm accountable to. Yeah? So I'm just going to be, I'm right about everything. But I do expect to be right. If I'm wrong, praise God, I'll say I was wrong about that. A lot of people use, I think it's Jeremiah that says, yeah, but our heart is wicked and deceitful above all things. You know, because of that, we can't trust our heart. I disagree. I disagree fully with that. It's in the Word, I agree with the Word, but the Word also says under the new covenant, 2 Corinthians 5:17, that we've been made a new creation in Christ Jesus. Now, if we've been made a new creation, that means my heart has been renewed as well. That means I can trust, I can start to trust my heart. Because my heart has been renewed by Jesus. If I miss it, I'm going to expect my leadership and the people that are around me to keep me accountable, to speak into my life. Obviously, if my heart is not in line with the Word of God, then, you know, if I want to go cheat on my wife, of course I can't do that. I can't trust my heart if my heart tells me to do that. Oh, and another thing on that, you know, sometimes we walk with this funny, wicked, weird thoughts that come to us out of nowhere, the devil, and we meditate on that so much. Oh, I can't believe I thought about that again. I can't believe I went there again in my mind. God, what is going on with me? And I just keep on feeling so sorry for myself because I can't get over this thing. You know how I deal with those thoughts? I ignore them. Why do you want that thought to capture your heart? That is exactly the intention of the devil. He wants to capture your heart in that place of defeat. He wants to hold that defeat in front of you and say, smell it. I take that defeat, I slap it away, I say, go away, I will not think about it any longer. I don't care. Bring that thought back so that I can know you again. You know what? After a while, he gets fed up with it. And he just leaves. Honestly, that's what I do. I don't go into spiritual warfare and proclaim word and, you know, I'm on my knees 2 hours a day because I need to get this one thought out of my head. I just say, whatever, man. Cheers. And then move on. I don't allow the devil a foothold in my heart. I don't allow him to control what I meditate on. Stop placing the burden upon yourself. Ignore it. Ignore that thing. Just move on. Just meditate on the word, man. The thought has come. Yeah, okay, whatever. Satan, I know you're going to attack me. But you know what? You've been stripped naked by Jesus. So cheers. I'm not going to allow you to dominate my thoughts any longer. I'll just ignore you. So, my expectation is not to be wrong, it's to be right. My expectation is not to survive. My expectation is to overcome and to reign. My expectation is not to be the tail. My expectation is to be the head. My expectation is not to have a lack, but my expectation is to have an abundance. My expectation is not to be a baby in the spirit. My expectation is to be a father in the spirit. That is my expectation. What is your expectation? What do you expect from life? The G option, the H option, or the A option? What do you expect from life? And I want to encourage you tonight, and I want to challenge you tonight, that God will meet you at your point of expectation. That's what you expect, that's what you will get. Nothing more, nothing less. What do you expect from life? I also just want to throw in the following, that this expectation of mine is not in my own ability. This expectation of mine is in the ability of God, in what He is able to do. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9 says, "But He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me.' Like I said, I cannot expect to do anything in my own. And I understand that, and I embrace that. Because through my weakness, God can show His strength. Through my weakness, God can be glorified. And that is why God loves our weaknesses. Because He can use our weakness for His glory. And that's the way it should be. But you know what Christians do? They take that verse and they decide that they're only going to focus now on their weakness. That is the focus. Is my weakness. Because if I focus on my weakness, then God can be glorified. And I'm here to tell you that is not the right mindset. The mindset is not my weakness. The mindset is the power of Christ. That is what I need to think about. That God is able through my weakness. It's not that I must exalt and glorify my weakness. I must exalt and glorify the ability of God to use my weakness. You see, if I start to think about that, if that is what I start to think about, then my expectation starts to turn positive. But because so many Christians are focused only on their weakness, they cannot help themselves but to stay in a place of defeat. Because that's all they focus on, is their weakness. It's about themselves. That is what you call a selfish mindset. The biblical mindset is the mindset that focuses on God. I'm not focusing upon myself, but I'm focusing on this Almighty Creator that is able to use my weakness for His glory. And as my focus, as my mind is focused on Jesus, my expectation turns positive. My expectation starting to raise higher and higher and higher, starting to rise higher and higher and higher. Because my focus is on the ability of God to use me for His glory. I also just want to maybe give a word of warning here that, you know, when I've got this expectation to be right, expectation to be successful, this expectation to overcome, that you should never allow this expectation to turn into pride. Never allow it to turn into pride. The devil would love for that to happen. And it can happen easily if we're not diligent and being vigilant in the Spirit. Because you see, if we have this expectation that God will glorify Himself, that expectation will be met. You know who said that? But someone who was very famous, and it's almost like the world gives him the credit for this revelation, is Sigmund Freud. Sigmund Freud is a wussy in comparison to God. Sigmund Freud did not think up the positive mindset. We see this 1,500 years before Christ, where King Solomon talked about it. These things are biblical stuff. And the world wants to contribute it to a man who has fallen, doesn't know God. God has given us His truths for millenniums. We as Christians should start to embrace it, start to walk in it. Don't allow expectation to turn into pride. Don't kick God out of the back door when you see this expectation start manifesting in your life. Because you will see it manifest in your life. Just remember where your blessing comes from. And this is what Deuteronomy 8 verse 11 to 19 talks about. It says, take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments and His rules and His statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness. Verse 17, beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth. Remember God. Remember God. Those who know me know that I'm not a prosperity teacher at all. But I can assure you that if you have got a positive expectation that God manifests in and through your life, you are setting yourself up for success in a big way. In a big way. God is waiting for his sons and his daughters who are willing to take him on his word. He is waiting for his sons and his daughters that say, God, I'm in this company. God, I'm in the social group, whatever. And I want to make your name great here. I want to see your name glorified where I find myself on a daily basis. And you know what God will do? God will give you vision. God will give you insight. God will give you solutions to problems. God will give you all the practical things that you need in order to make a difference in your society, at your job, where you find yourself on a daily basis. Why? So that people can start to notice that there's something different about this woman. There's something different about this man. Why does he always have the right answers? Why does he always come with the right solutions? Goodness me, I also want some of that. And God will start to send these people to you. And he will open up the door so that his name may be glorified. In that situation, you will have an option. Either you glorify yourself or you glorify God. It's coming. I'm speaking it prophetically over you. It's coming. God's going to bless you because you've got a heart after him. Like I said in the beginning, you've got a zeal for God. I can see it. And it's good. Keep that zeal. The question is that when God starts to manifest his glory through your life, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to exalt yourself or are you going to exalt Jesus? Because his purpose for that glory, his purpose for that favor that you receive at work, his purpose for the solutions that you divinely get from him is so that his name may be glorified, not yours. It's coming. Are you ready for that? I need to ask these questions for you. Because it will be a pity if you're in that situation and you exalt yourself. Then you've missed God completely. And you're going to go through the wilderness again. God are looking for sons and daughters whom he can use for his glory. I've got other things here. I'm not going to talk about that now. Can we just stand, please? Let's just pray. Father, I just thank you, Lord God, that we can know your heart is for us and your heart is not against us. We can know, Lord God, that you are committed to us more than we can ever be committed to you. You are faithful, Lord God, even when we are unfaithful. We can know, Lord God, that your purposes will prevail in us in our lives. And we thank you for that. We thank you for that, Lord God. We thank you that we can be at rest knowing that you direct our steps, Lord God, as we seek your face, Lord God. You do not leave us. You do not forsake us. But you are with us. Thank you, Lord God, that your word says that you are a God who is slow to anger, full of compassion. We worship you. We worship you. And tonight, Lord God, you've challenged all of us, including me, about what is coming. Father, and it is my heart's cry that we will move, Lord God, in a way that pleases you. That we will, Lord God, seek your face wherever we go, Lord God. And when you open up the doors, Lord God, when you give the strategic insight into problems, Lord God, when you help us, Lord God, to get to solutions, Lord God, that other people cannot get to. When you impart your divine favor upon our lives, Lord God, that our hands and our hearts were always pointing to Jesus and no one else. Because you are the name above all names. It's all about you, Jesus, and not us. And I pray, Lord God, that you will circumcise every heart here, Lord God, and that our hearts of stone will be made, hearts of flesh, Father. And I pray, Lord God, that a humility will be instilled in our spirits, Lord God, like we've never experienced before, Lord God. That we will never, ever exalt ourselves. But that we will exalt the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I thank you, Lord God, for a humble people. I thank you, Lord God, for a people who is hungry for the purposes of God. I thank you, Lord God, that you are releasing a generation that are sold out for your glory. And whose sole desire is to see the kingdom of God come, not only in their lives, but into the lives of those that they deal with on a regular basis. And we just declare that we can't do it on our own. Holy Spirit, we need you. Holy Spirit, we desire to be led by you. This is all for Jesus. This is all for Jesus. Father God, I thank you, Lord God, that your heart is pleased. I thank you, Lord God, that you smile upon your children. I thank you, Lord God, for your peace and your joy, Lord God, as this rests on your children. I thank you, Lord God, that we do not have to be burdened, but that we can live in freedom. Because you have come, Lord Jesus, to set the captives free. And anyone, Lord God, here who experiences captivity or bondage, we break that in Jesus' name. We thank you, Jesus, that your blood covers all things, Lord God, and that your blood is able to break any curse, Lord God. Your blood is able to break any bondage, Lord God, that has been passed over generationally, Lord God. We just stand against that. As believers, we lift the shields of faith, Lord God. And we thank you for freedom. We thank you for liberty. The liberty that only you can give.
So while all eyes are closed, I'm going to ask you, everyone, just close their eyes, please.
There's something I feel God has laid on my heart. There's someone here, maybe more than one. Something specifically. And you're constantly bombarded with suicidal thoughts. You've had it for a long time, but it's increased in the last couple of weeks. And it drives you to a place of desperation. I believe God wants to set you free tonight. So while all eyes are closed, can you see? Just quickly raise your hand. You want to see where you are. You want to pray with you. I'm going to pray with you in private. Thank you for that. Okay. Okay. Lower your hand. Okay. Just lower your hand. Father God, I just thank you that you can lift these people up to you, Lord God. We just come against these suicidal thoughts in the name of Jesus. We resist them in the name of Jesus. And we just command, you've got no right to enter into the mind of these people. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that your blood covers this mind, Lord God, that your blood, Lord God, filters through this mind. And I thank you for holy and godly thoughts that will constantly be thought of, Lord God. To see this washing of water in this mind, Lord God. And I just thank you, Lord God, that we come and say, be out in Jesus' name, anything that's in there that is not from God. I thank you, Lord God, for washing that only you can give. I thank you for a clean mind. I thank you for a mind that is at peace and is at rest. In Jesus' name. As while all eyes are still closed, something else I felt God has shared with me is someone here. You're in a full-on sexual relationship outside of marriage. And you know it's wrong. And you've not repented of that. I'm not going to expose you. But you need to be honest with God tonight. And you need to stop that. Because the devil's going to take you out. Do not play with the grace of God. God says, tonight is your night to break free. Tonight is your night. Night of repentance. So ask all eyes to be closed. Just ask, just quickly to raise your hand if that's you. I just want to pray over you as well. In a sexual relationship, and that is, you know, that's not the will of God. Okay, just lower your hand. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I was going to ask those that responded to that, just take a minute, repent in your heart, say, God, I admit that this is wrong. I know that this is not your desire for me. I've pursued my own desires, but I'm stepping away from that right now. And I ask for your forgiveness, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that you will restore that what I have lost, and I commit myself to you. Just pray in your own heart to God regarding that. Thank you, Lord God. I just thank you, Lord God, for waves of mercy, Lord God. I just thank you, Lord God, that you forgive, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, not only for forgiveness, but for restoration. I thank you, Lord God, that you come and that you redeem right now in the name of Jesus. Everything that was lost, you replace. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you that you are able, Lord God, to do way beyond what you can ever think or imagine. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I just see God's hand. I just see this blessing that is pouring out upon His children. Thank you, Lord God, just for your divine favor. I thank you, Lord God, that people will start to see, Lord God, from this week, your divine favor in their lives in supernatural ways, Lord God. They will start to see how you move on their behalf. I thank you that it lifts faith, Lord God. People will come back with testimonies of what you have done in this week already, Lord God. I thank you for divine healings. I thank you, Lord God, for divine input at corporations. I thank you for strategic insight, Lord God. I thank you for solutions that you give, that you bring to the table. They can use your people for their solutions. Thank you.
Listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church, we believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria. You.